May it please the court. Janet Ficke, on behalf of Helen Rodriguez, who was the claimant in the underlying workers' compensation claim. I would like to request to the court that I be allowed to do my opening in 10 minutes and reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
That's fine with us. The clock will let you know how much time you have. Just keep track of your own time.
All righty. Thank you. When a worker is injured while clearly performing the duties of employment, the claim is compensable. The facts in the underlying case are undisputed. On January the 8th of 2009, Helen Rodriguez, who was an event planner for the City of Brighton, arrived at work and was carrying her purse and numbers of articles that she would need for work in both of her arms. Her office was located in the basement of the city building, City Hall, which had outside stairs which would allow her to enter her office. After speaking with two of her co-workers, the claimant turned to proceed down the stairs, and while walking down the stairs, either slipped, tripped, fell, falling down a number of stairs and landing in the basement of the stairwell, sustaining serious injuries. Respondents had initially admitted that the claim was compensable and sought to withdraw their admission of liability, alleging that the claimant's accident was as a result of a pre-existing aneurysm that was unruptured at the time of the fall and caused her to fall. The administrative law judge found that the fall in this matter was not caused by this pre-existing condition. And as a result, the legal analysis of whether or not there was a hazard of employment was not applicable to the legal analysis. The administrative law judge found that the claimant's injury was unexplained because the claimant could not identify with particularity why she fell down the stairs. In determining, it is the claimant's position in this particular case that the fall was not an unexplained fall from a legal perspective, as required by an analysis under the Finn case. In the Finn case, what the court was looking at was the claimant's obligation in a workers' compensation case to prove causal connection between the work activities and the accident. The claimant has the burden of being able to establish when the accident occurred and how it occurred. The claimant in this case established both of those situations. She established that she was at work and she fell down the stairs because she was had her arms full, couldn't use the stair, whatever, she fell. The causal connectedness analysis is to the work activities that the claimant was performing at the time of the injury, not the claimant's ability to exactly show why she fell. And the Industrial Claims Appeals Panel on page 4 says we're affirming this judge because the claimant did not establish how the stairs caused or contributed to her fall. There are numbers of cases, and I think that the court has relied on, Industrial Claims Appeals Office has relied on, Professor Larson's 704 in making these types of determinations. And what I had to prove and what the claimant had to prove and did prove was that injury would not have occurred if the claimant had not misstepped, lost her balance, while she was required to be walking down the stairs to enter her office at work.
So I want to ask you a question about the burden of proof here. I understand that the ALJ and the panel agreed that the burden would be shifted here because the employer had initially admitted liability.
Correct.
What is the effect of that burden shift on your position? In your view, did you was your side required to prove any aspect of this claim?
I believe that the burden shifted to the respondents to prove that the claim was not compensable. and they did not meet their burden of proof.
Oh, in your view, is a finding of an unexplained fall can be viewed then as a failure of proof of the employer's side in this case, and not of the claimant's side, as is very often the case in these previous?
Correct. That's exactly right. Because they did not prove that the aneurysm was the cause of the fall. Also, the court has an obligation to assure the consistent application of the laws, including the Workers' Compensation Act. And in their answer brief, the respondents didn't attempt to distinguish any of the number of cases cited in our opening brief of the difference between our case and any other case where compensability was granted in those cases but denied in ours. And they and in a very recent case that we cited in our opening brief, which is the Morgan Corporation case, which is not published, but it's important that the court said a claimant is not obligated to prove the exact mechanism of injury in order to recover benefits. And it's wrong that the same set of facts will have different outcomes based upon the administrative law judge that hears the case. And to the extent that the court's affirmation that Colorado applies the positional risk doctrine in workers' compensation cases, I urge the court to consider clarification of that in this case. Assuming that her fall was truly unexplained, which I don't agree that it was, because we had the how and the when under the Finn definition of unexplained. The respondents acknowledge that other jurisdictions apply the positional risk doctrine to truly unexplained cases. And they cite the Irwin case, who said that that is the court saying that the positional risk doctrine does not apply in Colorado. I disagree. I believe that the court in Irwin left open for determination the question of whether in a truly unexplained fall case with no exigent circumstances, whether or not the positional risk doctrine applies. The court in Irwin didn't apply the positional risk doctrine because the claimant there had a history of blacking out and losing consciousness. And consequently, her fall could have happened at any other time or place. Notably, and we've talked about this, the respondents in this case were unsuccessful in their attempt to show that the claimant's fall was due to these pre-existing aneurysms that were discovered in medical tests after the fall. Therefore, the special hazard doctrine was not applicable, and that the stairs were ubiquitous is not an issue for the judge to address. The respondents cite Finn to show that we are a minority rule in regards to the positional risk doctrine. However, Finn is factually distinguishable from this case and is not dispositive of whether or not the positional risk doctrine should be applied. Unlike the circumstances here, Finn was found collapsed on a floor, bloodied and bruised. Nobody knew what happened. And he was unable to produce any evidence as to what occurred. There were no witnesses as to the accident or even why or how he had landed on the floor. Importantly, the court in Finn did not analyze the application of the positional risk doctrine and instead rejected the claimant's argument for the adoption of a presumption of causation in the form of res ipsa loquitur. The claimant here has never argued that there is a presumption of compensability. The claimant submits that she carried her burden of proving causation.
Counsel, didn't you just say that the statute did switch the burdens of proof?
Yes, it does.
So doesn't that in effect create a presumption of compensability?
Yes, it does, actually.
So you did argue that?
Yes. That was before we spoke here. So I have a few minutes left. I'm going to reserve and until Ms. Krugel.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Please the court. Kelly Krugel, I'm here appearing on behalf of the appellees in this matter. This case is the factual determinations of the underlying administrative law judge concerning what happened on Ms. Rodriguez's date of injury and what was able to be proven about that date and what was not. As counsel articulated, yes, one of the original theories of the case that was argued was that aneurysms in Ms. Rodriguez's brain had contributed to the fall. However, as the record clearly indicates, and as is cited by respondent, by appellees in their brief, there was a dual prong argument advanced at the outset of hearing that in the alternative, her fall was truly unexplained. Unexplained fall cases date back as a principle in workers' compensation to the Finn case. And what the courts have consistently held since Finn is that there must be some type of an explanation for what caused the injury. A purely unexplained fall, as discussed in Finn and as is in the cases that have come since Finn, are not compensable within Colorado workers' compensation. That has been a doctrine that has been undisturbed by the court. And let's look at what the facts as found by the underlying administrative law judge, the facts to which the court is obligated to give deference, even though there may be conflicting information in the record show. They show that Ms. Rodriguez testified that she doesn't remember what happened. She testified that she started descending the stairs, and after that, essentially all she remembered was waking up in the hospital. Ms. Rodriguez did not testify that she slipped, that she tripped, that she stumbled, that the books impeded her ability to descend the stairs safely. She testified to none of that. The only other two witnesses to this incident were her two coworkers who also testified. Both of those co-workers testified that they could not see the full body of Ms. Rodriguez at the time she fell. The most specific testimony offered by those co-workers was that she seemed to pitch forward. Both of those co-workers specifically testified that they did not seek to explain why she fell, and they offered no explanation therefore.
Ms. Krugel, I guess I'm having difficulty understanding the applicability of the unexplained fall rule in the circumstances here, because if it had been the case that Ms. Rodriguez had slipped, then that would have mandated the conclusion that her fall was arising under the course of her employment. Is that not correct?
I disagree that it would have mandated that, Your Honor. The administrative law judge is not bound to accept the claimant's explanation that she slipped.
Okay. Well, if the ALJ had agreed that that was the reason, then the result would have been that she would have had a compensable claim, presumably. Is that correct?
I agree with that statement, Your Honor.
So wouldn't that apply to the other alternative explanations that you just mentioned? If she slipped, if she tripped, if she lost her balance because of holding books, but wouldn't all of those alternative explanations have possibly led to a conclusion that her injury arose under the course of her employment?
Absolutely, Your Honor. They all could have led to that conclusion, but the facts in this case are that they didn't. ALJ Krumrich chose to accept the findings as presented and argued by respondents that there was no actual explanation offered for her fall. And that was something that was argued by the appellant in her underlying brief to the Industrial Claim Appeals Office, that because she presented several explanations as to why she may have fallen, that therefore any number of those explanations, one or the other, should be taken, rendering the case compensable. The court disagreed with that argument, that one of those explanations has to be accepted by the judge, and here in this particular case, based on the particular factual circumstances, ALJ Klumberg rejected all of those and found that this was an unexplained fall case.
Counsel, can you posit a situation in which the claimant's fall would not have been deemed to have arisen out of? In other words, is it only the situation where she voluntarily threw herself down the stairs to injure herself? Would that be the only situation in which the fall would not be compensable here?
Under the factual circumstances of this particular case?
Yes.
I don't want to hazard to guess what Judge Klumberg may have decided if different facts had been presented, Your Honor.
Because Judge Talman's question is a very interesting one. It seems to me that the uncertainty lies in the ALJ's ability to pick between A, B, and C, all of which would have, any one of which, if determined to be the fact, would have supported the determination of compensability.
I disagree, Your Honor. I think that the seminal fact here in this particular case is Judge Krumrick's inability to find an explanation for the fall. And under the law as established in Finn, and under the law that goes with unexplained fall cases in Colorado, if there is no explanation that the judge feels acceptable, it doesn't matter if there are 100 other potential examples that may have provided an explanation or given a rise to compensability. It matters that the judge in this particular circumstance was unable to come to a conclusion that the fall was explained.
Let's pursue that for a second, because it seems to me that as your colleague mentioned here, in Finn, the court declined to adopt a rule of or a presumption of compensability for unexplained falls. Why doesn't the statutory presumption or the statutory shift in the burden of proof in effect create a presumption of compensability? In other words, here, doesn't a finding of unexplained constitute a failure of proof of the employer as opposed to the claimant in the traditional case?
No, I would disagree with that as well, Your Honor. The change in the presumption of the burden of proof, as Your Honor is referencing, is the change that the party seeking to withdraw an admission of liability, it simply says bears the burden of proof to withdraw that admission. Nothing in the change in that language says that party bears the burden to disprove compensability. That party has the obligation to prove sufficient facts to sustain its request to withdraw. And here in this case, the only thing that the respondent could have established was one of the two prongs of defense, either that the aneurysms caused the fall or that the fall was unexplained.
Explain to me again what this burden of proof does, and what is the effect of that statute, if not to shift the burden of proof on all the elements of the claim?
And I think that is an unresolved question, Your Honor. That particular change in the statute has not actually been litigated at this point in time, so what effect that has on the burden would potentially be an issue of first impression for this court. It was argued in the underlying briefs that it only shifted the burden to establish a basis for seeking to withdraw the admission, but regardless of what was argued there, what Judge Klumberg found and what the ICAO upheld is that the respondents sustained their burden of proof to show that this fall was an unexplained fall and that under the law in Finn, unexplained falls are not compensable in Colorado. And so I would submit under any application of the burden of proof, even if that shifted the burden of proof wholly to the respondents, which is an unsettled question of law based on the application of that statute, that respondents did in fact meet that burden of proof based on the factual findings in the record and the order of the judge. I want to touch on the argument that the positional risk doctrine should somehow apply to this particular case. It has also been well settled in Colorado that the unexplained fall doctrine as arising out of Finn and the positional risk doctrine are two completely separate entities. What the positional risk doctrine was adopted and designed to do was to account for circumstances in which a purely random or happenstance outside force is met upon a person while they're engaged in the course and scope of their employment. The courts have adopted this that where a stray bullet, an insane person coming into a place of employment and causing havoc therein, lightning, acts of God, third-party outside sources are what the positional risk doctrine itself applies to, meaning that if you didn't happen to be going to work at that particular time, you would not have encountered that particular risk or hazard. The positional risk doctrine has never been applied to the very best of my knowledge and research, to descending stairs. So I would submit that an attempt to shoehorn this case into an argument that the judge erred by not applying the positional risk doctrine is simply a misapplication of the law. As the cites in Larson that were noted by counsel indicate, I would agree that many other jurisdictions apply the positional risk doctrine to unexplained fall cases. Colorado does not.
And now I wonder, if you had an unexplained fall off of a crane or an unexplained fall off of a roof, why wouldn't the positional risk doctrine make sense in that context?
It certainly could, Your Honor, but to this point in time, through the Supreme Court and through the established case law, we've held those things as different, that positional risk applies to outside third-party forces. They're separate and distinct from a truly unexplained fall. Falling off a crane, certainly there could be many different explanations offered, and any different administrative law judge, based upon the facts as presented in that underlying workers' compensation matter, may reach a conclusion of compensability. What we go back to here is, in this particular case, based on the facts presented to him, Judge Klemmerich declined to find compensability in this matter and did expressly hold that respondents had met their burden of proof with regard to seeking to withdraw their admission of liability in this matter. While I would certainly agree with the statements that counsel has made that she didn't need to prove exactly why she fell, she still, as I've already indicated, needed to give evidence that would give rise to Judge Klemmerich being able to find, and then the ICO being able to look at those factual findings and find an explanation for the fall. Lastly, there is a discussion in the argument regarding the special hazard doctrine being discussed by the judge in the underlying order, and that somehow was an error that should deserve a remand to sort of redact that discussion, if you will. I would submit that that discussion is framed in the context of the rejection of the argument regarding the brain aneurysms. Again, there was a two-prong argument that was advanced at the underlying hearing, and both of those arguments were addressed in the order of the administrative law judge. Had the administrative law judge found that the brain aneurysms had in fact caused the fall, then the special hazard doctrine would have clearly applied. But what you look at in the judge's order and in the order of the ICAO, the discussion of the special hazard doctrine was simply reiterating the fact that this is what the special hazard doctrine is, but it doesn't apply in this particular case because he did not find that the aneurysms caused the fall. At the most, the discussion of the special hazard doctrine was harmless error and should be disregarded by the court. I understand the position with respect to that there are a variety of different outcomes in workers' compensation courts. We deal with very factually specific cases and have judges who come to differing conclusions based on the specific facts of those cases. Simply citing other cases where falls have been determined to be explained and thus compensable should not affect or change the outcome of this particular case. And what we have in this particular matter is, after careful consideration and presentation of a voluminous amount of evidence to the court, including testimony of the only individuals who were present during the time, as well as medical experts, the underlying administrative law judge rendered a factual determination within his discretion that this fall was unexplained. That determination is owed deference by the court. Absent proof that the judge erred in reaching that conclusion, that finding should not be disturbed. The argument that the positional risk doctrine should have applied is not correct. It was not an error for the judge to exclude an analysis of the positional risk doctrine because no cases have ever applied the positional risk doctrine in Colorado to unexplained fall circumstances, nor should they, based on the existing distinction between positional risk and unexplained fall. I would ask the court to uphold the order of Judge Klemmerich and also the order of the Industrial Claim Appeals Office, which allowed respondents to withdraw their admission of liability in this case and essentially find the case not to be compensable within the Workers' Compensation Act.
Thank you.
I would like to address two issues raised by respondent for the attorney for the employer in this matter. I would like, first of all, to note that the facts as found by the judge are not disputed. What is disputed is the legal application that the judge made with the facts as given. And I would like for the court to look at in determining whether or not there was an unexplained fall, to focus on not that the judge erred in finding that she failed to prove her case because she could not say why she actually fell. And that was the finding. And that is wrong as a matter of law, because the courts have instructed us that what we're looking at is the connectability to work activities. The other thing that I would like to point out in regards to the positional risk doctrine, which is basically the requirement of the worker's employment placed him in a position where the accident occurred, because that's what the positional risk doctrine says. And there's a confusion with these unexplained fall cases when the fall is caused by personal disease or weakness that contributes to the fall, or there's a pre-existing condition. The positional risk doctrine doesn't apply in those situations because the risk is no longer neutral. The risk has now become personal, and that is when the special hazards doctrine applies, and that is when that analysis occurs. So I respectfully would request this court to address whether the positional risk doctrine should apply, or in the alternative, to find that the findings of fact as applied to the law were in error in this case, and that the claimant did sustain a compensable injury. Thank you.
Ms. Fricke, before you sit down, I have a really minor question.
Sure.
In the notice of appeal in your opening brief, you spell Rodriguez with a Q, but in the answer brief and the ALJ's decision and the panel's decision, it's spelled with a G. Which spelling is correct?
Oh, it's a G.
Okay.
I apologize. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the argument in that case. The court thanks counsel, both sides, for your excellent arguments. Those were helpful. And this case, too, will be deemed submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.